Right on. Well, thank you for taking the time here to join us, the Toddcast podcast in Vancouver, Canada. One of the founding members of NOFX, arguably one of the most influential punk bands of all time.
Wow. I didn't know that was arguable.
Wow. I guess, what is it, top three, top five, top ten? Certainly you guys are up there.
Top five is a nice thing.
I would say top five. I'd put you guys top five.
Yeah.
And it's been years since you and I talked. The last that we talked, when I was working the evening show at CFOX, I would stick around on Monday nights and op the Punk-O-Rama with Marianne Carosi. So that was like the beginning of the 2002-2003, 15 years between talking to you. You probably don't even remember. You talked to probably so many people who probably don't even remember.
A long time ago.
Dude, it's a long time ago, man.
Well, considering how long I've been playing, I guess it's not that long ago.
Yeah, well, it's like almost half your career. You guys are back in Vancouver. What is it, July 13th with the Punk and Drublick Tour. This is going to be a great show at the Peony Amphitheater. You guys, of course, Bad Religion, Anti-Flag, Chicks Dig It, 35...
I think the McKenzies are playing, aren't they?
Oh, that's right, and they are as well. Yeah. 35 years in, and it's still not getting old.
For you, maybe. For me, it's... No. No, it's... You know what's fun is that... touring with Bad Religion is always fun, because, you know, they're my favorite band.
Right.
And, but the thing about them is, the longer we tour together, the less fun they get, and the more fun we get. So that's something,
right?
We're thinking about Vancouver, about just playing two sets and having them not play.
Right.
I'm kidding.
Just one big Bad Religion. That would be awesome to see. NOFX doing a Bad Religion set and reversed.
Oh, that would be no. It would be good to see, because he's such a better singer than me. People. That'd be the demise of NOFX.
Yeah. That's a really good idea. What bands did that recently? Well, not recently, but like 10 years ago. Alexis on Fire did that with Monin. A cool swap.
Two bands I've never heard of.
Oh, you've never heard of Alexis on Fire? Really?
Alexis on Fire?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, dude.
What are they? Good. Heavy metal?
Post-punk hard rock.
Weird. I was just talking about NOFX playing two sets and telling Bad Religion to hit the road.
Right, exactly. See you, boys. Thanks for coming.
Take the night off.
Yeah. Mike, does it get any easier writing music over the years?
You know, funny, it was getting harder and harder and harder until last year. When I went and I've written maybe 20 songs for the musical, for the Home Sweet Home musical.
Yeah.
And I wrote the Cokie the Clown album. And then I wrote about 40 NOFX songs.
Wow.
So you're thinking, why is that, Mike?
Like, what's the difference?
Is it the drugs?
Yeah, like, what's going on? The lack of? Like,
no,
what's going on?
It's not just the drugs. It's not just the drugs. It's that I had some depression from breaking up with my wife and moving and I don't think I ever had a broken heart before, and then with all that shit that went down in Vegas last year, you know, death threats give you a different perspective on life.
I bet. Dude, that's crazy.
You know, after that thing, I mean, yeah, it was a rough week, second rough week, but things normal, and I go to my first punk show, and some dude I've known for 20 years comes up and says, "I can't believe you said that. You know, I have a problem with you."
Really?
I'm like, what? You know, I'm not going to say it is, but it's like a singer of a punk band that has said some really crappy things in his career, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that really threw me. I'm like, wow, even punk rockers are mad at me. Idiots.
Right. I would love to go back to the beginning with you. Before you're in any bands.
Yeah.
What's the music in the house as a kid growing up? Like, what bands are your parents playing the most?
That's weird. What's weird is my parents didn't listen to music.
Really?
They like to yell at each other a lot. So that's kind of like
that was
punk
the music
rock
in the house. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of hardcore.
Yeah.
It's kind of like having Lou from Sick of It All.
Right.
And Brody from the Distillers.
Yeah.
Just yelling at each other all day long.
Yeah.
They actually had two records: a Barbra Streisand one, and the horn player, Herb Albert.
You're kidding.
And that was it. And, I'm not kidding. They had two records. And they, when they'd have friends over, they'd put on those records. That was it.
So clearly, it's not your parents. It's your buddies. How do you go down this path?
Well, the first record I listened to was Rocky Horror Picture Show, because in L.A., we had cable TV, so they'd play it on the Z Channel. It was like the first cable in the world.
Yeah.
So I saw the movie, and I was like, wow. So I put a tape recorder up to it and taped it, and I listened to that probably 100 times.
Interesting. So which were the first bands to grab a hold of you then?
I went to summer camp. I was 12, and I heard the Ramones there. Mm. And that was the first actual product I bought, was their first record.
Right. Speaking of arguably, the best punk band of all time, kind of hard to get away from the Ramones.
It's all different. The Ramones, what they did, they pretty much started the sound.
Right. They put a spotlight on it.
But it was better. They were better than the Vibrators or the Dictators, or if they were, or Iggy.
Right.
Because it was catchier. And it's just there were kids. When you see that old footage of them at CB's in '74.
Oh, dude, yeah, young,
They had no idea what they were doing, which really brought in that. That's what punk rock is to me: is shitty, drunk musicians on drugs who have great songs.
Mm.
So I don't know. That was it for me.
Yeah, now, I just talked to CJ Ramone. He played here in Vancouver about a couple of weeks back now.
Yeah.
Great guy, man. Super nice guy.
Yep. We played with Ramones when CJ was in the band.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Right on. What was your first concert, and how old were you?
Well, I don't think you can count Donny and Marie in Vegas.
Did you seriously see them in Vegas?
Yes, I did. I was 8 years old.
Okay. Well, I think that might be the first, then. Like, I can see in mind, Dr. Hook.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
The cover of the Rolling Stone? Cover of the Rolling Stone.
No. You're weird. I think people are weird who like all kinds of music. It's just weird. I like both kinds, both punk and oi. But besides that, right. I guess my friend had a birthday party, and he took 12 of his closest friends to see the Cars. So that was my first concert.
Oh, yeah.
I was 13. It was bar mitzvah. I was the bar mitzvah, going to the Cars.
Had the Cars playing his bar mitzvah?
No. It's just he took his friends that...
Right. So I'm like, wow, how did he manage that?
Now, what kind of a band would play a bar mitzvah?
Dude, and especially, at that point.
Maybe my band, the first of the Gimme Gimmes.
Right.
Which people don't think we actually did play, but that was a real thing. People really didn't like us, and that was no joke. Well, if you look at the video footage online,
yeah,
you see it wasn't a joke. We ruined this kid's bar mitzvah. Anyway, my first gig was at the Whiskey X and the Subhumans.
At the Whiskey?
When I was 14.
Wow.
Yeah. Before high school.
And that's a life changer.
That was a life changer.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's when I realized that the Subhumans from England are much better than the Subhumans from Canada.
Yeah. That's awesome. Mike, when I mentioned on social media that you were going to be a guest, of course, there's a ton of Fat Mike fan questions. I'd love to get to some of them here. And, of course, appreciate your time as well. Brent wants to know, what are you currently binge-watching?
Oh, I don't really binge-watch. I'm too busy. Once in a while, I'll watch one episode of Black Mirror. But
right. That's a good show.
I don't binge-watch. I just don't.
Okay.
I watch that.
Another good show.
But I only watch one show at a time. I feel guilty if I watch more than an hour of TV.
What would you rather do? What are you doing most of the time?
I don't know, getting tied up, doing drugs, golfing. I spend so much time writing songs these days.
I bet.
And, working on my Punk Republic tour, which is, it's not like booking a tour. Every city is different. It's booking a festival in every city. So it's really difficult. Like after, when we just did a European tour, we did 12 Punkadelic shows, and after every show, every night I spent like four hours working after the show.
Just kind of coordinating things and advancing shows and all that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not the booking agent, but there's so much to do because it's such a weird tour.
Right.
Like, you'll see some of the things we do in Vancouver, are actually, they're not letting us do. Canada is not letting us do the coolest things.
What is it? What are we missing out on? What? Why?
Yeah, seriously, you can't have massage when there's alcohol around.
Really?
Yeah, and we do bondage massage. We have two dominatrixes, and they tie you up to a massage table and give you a massage. It's not like they're rubbing your cock. You know, it's, they're masseuses. They're just super hot, and they're in latex.
Right.
So we can't do that in Canada.
What?
And we also have the Wheel of Misfortune. One, you know, another attraction with two doms, and you spin a wheel, and everything that happens to you is bad. Like a paddling, or they take your beer from you, or, you know, put clothespins on your tits.
Right.
I like, my favorite is the one that says nothing. People get so bummed. They just paid $5 and they get nothing.
Well, kick in the ass and there you go.
No, well, just nothing. They would prefer a kick in the ass.
Right.
Getting
that's
nothing.
Weird. Like, why wouldn't...
There's no punctuation. No punctuation at the end of that sentence.
Like, it's not just Vancouver. Please tell me it's not just Vancouver that's... Like, it's across the country? And what's the reason for this? Like, what's the...
You tell me.
Dude, I'm blown away, man. I'm, like, shocked. Like, what?
They said there's some kind of law that you can't do anything that harms someone else.
Wow.
Which pretty much means Canada has a law that is against fun.
No fun stamp right on it.
It is. It's a no fun law. Because if no one's getting hurt, then you're not having fun. You're doing it wrong.
Yeah, that's weak.
It was so fun in Germany. People would buy 10. They'd buy 10 spins for their friend.
Right.
I buy my friend, here's 50 euros. Give him 10 spins on the wheel.
Yeah.
And it was hysterical.
Yeah, we really have to adopt some of that European culture here in Canada. That's amazing.
But, well, Germans, especially Germans, they got Schadenfreude. So, you know, that fits right in with their whole cultures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the misery, the happiness of the misery of others.
Right. So, they're
yeah.
skipping to the front of the line.
No, yeah, well, they have laws that we have to have Wheels of Misfortune on every corner.
Right, exactly. Exactly, yeah. All right, let's get back to the fan questions here. Kyle wants to know, are you a gambler?
I guess. I was a professional poker player, but that's not really gambling, is it?
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't like playing games of chance.
Yeah, I'm talking, I think he's more like, you know, the roulettes and that kind of thing.
No.
No.
No, I like playing games where you have an advantage if you're smart.
Right. Like poker, clearly that's poker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The game that's the hardest is backgammon. Holy shit, that's hard.
That's a great game. Learned that as a little kid with my mom.
Why do you think it's a great game?
Because it has a lot to do with skill and strategy.
Yeah, but did you play for money?
Well, no.
Well, then you don't know the game. It's funny because it's like poker. Playing poker without money, it's useless.
Right.
Because there's nothing to lose. And backgammon is all about the doubling cube. And it's all about the odds. You have to know the odds of every roll.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know, it's a crazy game. I played it online for big money, and I lost everything. Someone actually said to me, dude, you should stop playing this game because you don't know what you're doing.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
Backgammon is not fun. Backgammon is an evil game.
Evil.
For maniacal
yeah.
people.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
I'll say, no, you know, F you. Because that's not a fair question at all. Because the only time I ever ditched school was in fourth grade, and that was for Star Wars. And I was on Leonard Nimoy's TV show called In Search Of. So I was hanging out with Nimoy.
Wow.
At his house.
Dude, that's awesome.
So how am I supposed to make a choice?
That's a tough one.
And Star Wars 1 is pretty much the only good one.
That was a game changers. Like, that's the one.
When they brought in the Ewok, the Muppets, mm-hmm. that's when it went bad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but you know what? The new one with the Chris guy, that was a pretty good movie.
Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't mind the Han Solo standalone as well. I thought that was pretty good. It got dragged pretty hard.
I didn't see it because, bad reviews.
No,
I didn't see a movie with bad reviews.
No, I didn't mind it. I think that it just got stacked up against, you know, The New Hope. It's like, we can't stack everything. It would be like stacking all your records against your best record.
That's right. That's right. Was there a lot of male nudity in it?
I don't know. Is that a plus or a minus?
I thought maybe that's why you liked it so much.
Yeah, no.
I don't even know you, and I pissed you off.
No, not at all. Okay. Not at all. what are your thoughts on legalized marijuana? Of course, this came to Canada last October.
I have a weird viewpoint on it. It pisses me off because they should just decriminalize drugs. Picking marijuana is not cool because marijuana is actually it's really bad for you. It's really bad for your brain, especially in your developing years. You know, I didn't do drugs till my 30s, and I see what it does to people. It makes people stupid, it makes people lazy and slow and lose their memory. On the other hand, people who do Adderall and cocaine, those people get shit done. And alcohol too. Alcohol doesn't fuck up your brain unless you're a total wet brain. Pot fucks up your brain. So I don't like that they legalize the one drug that keeps the mass the obsequious happy. Does that even make sense? Yeah, keeps the masses of people happy just sitting on a couch. They don't have political debates like when you drink. They just hang out.
Right, play video games and
I can't do that either. Video games.
Ugh. Are you not a big video guy? No, just a time waster.
It's a time waster.
Yeah,
like movies. I will see a movie once a week. I go to the theater because that's a little vacation. But
dude, that's like creative art, though.
Yeah, and I don't like DVDs. I like being in the theater.
Right. Did you get into the whole superhero thing, like the Marvel Endgame and all that?
Well, I like the movies. They're good. You know, they're pretty well written.
They are, yeah. I mean, it is eye candy from the moment you sit down to the, you know, till you're leaving.
Yeah, but they still the plots are pretty good too, though. The writing isn't bad.
Right. Oh yeah,
Deadpool. Deadpool is so good,
dude. And especially from being from
the best ending.
Yeah, you know, right.
The best ending.
The ending is awesome. Of all time. You know, just being from Vancouver, and of course, a majority of the film was filmed here in Vancouver. So you're like, oh, that's the Georgia Viaduct. Oh, there's the North Shore Mountains, and
oh, everything. I didn't know that.
Yeah, dude. So it's cool for a Vancouverite to watch and go, like, dude, that's my city.
Right. Yeah, Vancouver's got a lot of that kind of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Hunger Hut? Do you ever go there?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I miss the Hunger Hut.
Yeah. Brent's got an interesting question. He says, would you ever consider doing something like you did back in the early 2000s with the punkvoter.com again?
No. Because I did a year and a half of really hard work. I did my civil service, my public service, and we fought the good fight, and that was a tough loss the year we did it. But now you can't... Fighting against Trump is useless. You can't... If someone... is a Trump supporter, there's no arguing.
Right.
There's no debate. There isn't. So it's really a waste of time. But I do want to go into public speaking, though, because I'm very comfortable doing that. And I talk to people a lot, and I seem to help people a lot, too, with my attitude on life. And so I'm interested in doing that.
We're kind of already doing that, though, with the band. I mean, it would just be kind of like an offshoot or... above, you know what I mean?
Right. Because, you know, that's why I studied in college is human sexuality and social science, and I help people.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
You kind of feel that the band has that that avenue for you for that in that regard?
Yeah, except some people don't. Like, our songs are very social relevant songs, and people don't realize that. They think we're just a funny band.
Right.
And that's just because we're funny between songs, but our songs are very socially relevant if you can figure out what we're talking about.
Right, right. Do you believe in aliens? Do you believe aliens have visited Earth?
The real question here is, do I care?
Right.
Which is no. Just like I don't care if there's a God. But I think the chances are that there was some kind of design element in, not design, but something, there's more to evolution than meets the eye. I think it's a little bit of both, because there were some big jumps in evolution.
Certainly was, yeah. And there's some that you know, things that you question, like how was it done? And you know, you look at the Egyptian pyramids for one, and the lining up of the certain degrees and whatever, and
the ones that are underwater. Come on,
right?
That's just
like how,
crazy.
How did that happen?
Well, duh. Right? Magic.
Exactly. Come on. Todd, you know, come on.
My personal belief system, it's not a belief. I don't like using that word. But I like to think that if you live an interesting life, a good life, and really have a good time and do good things for people, that someone's looking out for you. Kind of like if you had an ant farm and there was a flood and there was one ant that you really liked because it was doing crazy stuff all the time, you'd try to save that one little ant. Mm-hmm. But the other ants, who cares? You know? So, like defending your life, like that movie. I like to try to do as many things as I can in my life and have a great time. That stupid Jim Carrey movie, Yes Man.
Yeah.
It actually was a pretty good movie.
The concept, the premise of it.
The premise of it, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to take chances and do stuff.
Yeah, just say yes. Why not? Mike, thank you again for taking the time here. We've got a couple more questions, and I'll let you go. And one is an oddball. Have you ever had a near-death experience?
Yeah. Yeah.
What happened?
I mean, I got a few times. I was on a hike when I was 13 in some camp, and we ran out of water over this ridge, and we had about a 12-mile hike in 95 degrees with no water.
Wow.
And I definitely look at life. I looked at life differently after that. Cause,
really?
We had to hike over a mountain, over a ridge, 12 miles.
Like just dying at the end of it.
Yeah, no one has really experienced lack of water for an entire day in that kind of heat. It was a life changer. And I almost drowned once, surfing when I was a kid, boogie boarding. And more recently, I was bike riding, and this truck made a right turn really fast. I was just waiting on a corner, and he started to roll over me. And I hit that truck with my left hand, and he stopped only because he hurt my hand. He wouldn't have seen me.
Wow, dude.
So, you know, that was kind of near death.
Yeah, I would say there's a few there.
You know, I've had some fun near-death experiences in the dungeon.
Right.
But those are supervised near-death.
Yeah, and those are planned. Those aren't surprises, right? All right, I'll hit you with the, I think, is going to be the toughest one for you to answer. What's your career highlight thus far?
I guess the last night of Home Sweet Home in San Francisco. Home Sweet Home has been the worst thing that's ever happened to me, my musical. Because it's not open now, right now. And, you know, we had a 3-week run in San Francisco. We got 4 to 5 stars in the paper, in the Chronicle. Mm-hmm. Everybody loved it. And we signed on with the producer, and that was 4 years ago. And we're still in development.
What? And 4 years later?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a much better show now because we've tested it in so many different places, you know, everywhere from Martha's Vineyard to New York City to Cincinnati. And I think it's a pretty special musical right now, but I'm used to putting on records when I want to. Mm-hmm. I've been working on this thing hard for 8 years. It keeps me up at night. And also other people are in charge of my life, which I hate too. But the last night in San Francisco every night we got standing ovations, and me and my wife at the time, Selma, we just sat in our chairs and cried. I'd say that was one of the highlights.
Just moving stuff. Like, how could you not be moved to tears?
Yeah, just how much hard work we put in.
Right. And how long it's taken.
It finally paid off.
Yeah, man. That's amazing.
But that was 4 years ago.
And are you eyeing then, is there a light at the tunnel for that? Like, can you see something happening in the next couple of years where you're taking that on tour? Or?
Oh, well, no, we have dates in London coming up.
Okay.
But not till March. And
so it's
coming. And, you know, you may have heard the record. The record is just a demo. The record that I just finished recording only shares 4 songs from that record. I mean, there's so many songs that I've written over the years on this. But this record is a totally different record. This one, there's a couple of major labels that want to put it out. And they want to put it out before the show opens, which is very rare.
Right. Well, interesting.
Because, yeah, I mean, that's... So we'll see what happens.
Right on. Right on, dude. Well, thank you again for taking the time today, Mike. You, your band on Twitter is at NoFXBand. You're at NoFX on...
I have no idea.
On Instagram?
Go to my Instagram.
Yeah.
Mine's Hunter.
You're easy to find on Facebook and Instagram as well. What are we doing here again? We're July 13th in Vancouver at the P&E Amphitheater for Punk and Drublick. Can't wait for the show, dude.
Yeah, it's get ready for a big disappointment. No, it is Punk and Drublick is fun. No kids allowed is great. I'm going to send you a picture of what I look like right now because I'm in a salon and
nice.
I have blue in my hair.
Nice, hit it. All right, dude.
Sitting next to a girl looks like she has a skin disease. What, is that cupping? Yeah, it's cupping. No skin disease.
All right, we'll see you online, Mike. Thanks again.